This is Bronson Hermuth coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee, Music City, USA. Today I have the honor of interviewing Mr. Sam Bush. The first time I heard your music, Sam, I was up in Iowa, and I was just a teenager, and it was 1971, and it was Poor Richard's Almanac, and you changed my life.
Poor Richard's Almanac? Wow, were we just traveling through or something, huh?
No, I didn't hear the band. I heard the record.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. All right. Well, that, you see, I guess that record came out in 1970, so it would have been recorded somewhere around the Easter weekend of 1969, I think. And, yeah, just a joyful noise, Alan Mundy and I trying to play some fiddle tunes on bluegrass instruments. You know, and we were greatly influenced by Texas fiddle styles, but, of course, obviously as well as, you know, bluegrass.
Then you roll the clock up a little bit, and I joined the Navy, and I was on an aircraft carrier, and I got a cassette tape sent to me of a band called Newgrass Revival.
There you go. Well, Newgrass, when you first heard Porter's Almanac later that year in 1971, Newgrass Revival was formed out of the band called Bluegrass Alliance. And so the four of us, Courtney Johnson on banjo, Curtis Birch with a U on guitar and dobro, Evo Walker was our bass player, and of course I played the mandolin and the fiddle. And really, when we were starting Newgrass Revival, we had discovered of course, we love bluegrass, but we were always influenced by people like, you know, the Osborne Brothers, and Jim and Jesse, and the Dillards, and the Country Gentlemen. And we had discovered through listening to various rock and roll and jazz, what have you, the fun of long extended jamming. So we tried to start doing that when we were first going. Our first record, I guess it came out, we recorded our first album in 1972, and then I guess it came out very early 1973 or late 72 on Star Day Records from here in Nashville.
So now we're sitting here in 2011, 42 years later, Sam.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
And you've had such an incredible career. I've known of you, like I say, pretty much my whole life, musical life. I've actually, you know, played a lot of your songs with my band, and it's an honor to talk to you. I've always wondered, you started playing music at such an early age, so your parents must have really been supportive.
Well, they were. I mean, we grew up on basically a cattle and tobacco farm outside of Bowling Green, Kentucky. And, yeah, my dad was very much a music fan, as was my mother. So my mom played the guitar, my dad played the fiddle some. So music was always encouraged around our house and played. When, you know, if you see the old movie Coal Miner's Daughter, the way they're sitting around listening to the radio, you know, to the Grand Ole Opry Friday and Saturday nights, I mean, that's what we did. And our dad and mom were really instrumental in, you know, creating a love of music for my sisters and I. So I started playing the mandolin when I was about 11 and started playing fiddle at about age 13. But before I started playing mandolin, my two sisters, Clara and Janet, had already started singing folk music, you know, learning Peter Paul and Mary songs and stuff like that, the Christy Minstrel songs. So I started playing with my sisters when I first started going, and then by age 13, I started playing fiddle in the first bluegrass band I was in called the Grayson County Boys. And then, of course, I was way younger than everyone else. Everyone else was my dad's age. And then somewhere along the line, I started playing electric guitar in high school. So I was always doing a variety of things. I would play electric guitar in the high school rock bands, sometimes bass, but usually guitar. And then I would, be playing mandolin, fiddle, and bluegrass band. So I would literally be the only guy old enough to drive in the rock band. But then in bluegrass bands, I would be by far the youngest guy in the band all the time. So that's all changed now. I'm never the youngest guy in the band anymore.
You know, I've always loved your songwriting. One of my favorite songs of all time is "Like a Child in the Rain." I did that song; it just rolls all over me. You're known as such a great instrumentalist and music guy, but your songwriting, I love your songwriting. How old were you when you first discovered songwriting?
I'm not really sure. Probably, let's see. I was co-writing with a guy named Stephen Rhymes back then, and Stephen was from up Lexington, and we would literally actually write by mail. In other words, he would send me the lyrics, and then I would put music to his lyrics. Then I'd make the copy of a tape in my kitchen and send it back to him, and that's how we wrote songs together. Sometimes we sit down and collaborate. But I was collaborating with Stephen Bryant back then, so probably about age 19, I started trying. I was making up instrumentals before songs, and still tend to do that maybe a little more. But so with Stephen, I started learning to love to, you know, try to fit lyrics in, and how do you do that? And Stephen was a big Kris Kristofferson fan, so a lot of our songs kind of had that slant to them. And then over the years, you know, I've learned to really enjoy collaborating. John Pinnell I've collaborated with, and most I've collaborated with Jeff Black, who I think is just one of the greatest songwriters I've ever met. And a guy from Louisville, Alan Rohde, I've collaborated with him. And I've always been writing, but yes, I guess I tend to think of myself first as an instrumentalist and singer, but I've learned to enjoy the process, especially of collaboration.
You've played with so many huge stars and in lots of genres. You know, you can play with anybody, anything they want to play, no doubt in my mind. So how did you come to hook up with Leon Russell?
Well, that all occurred back in early 1973. Newgrass Revival had just completed our first road trip for a couple of weeks with John Hartford, and we were thrilled about that. And I got home, and my old friend Butch Robbins, Butch was living in Nashville. Butch is a great banjo player, and he had gotten the job of playing five-string dobro on the first Hank Wilson's Back record when Leon would make his country records. So there was discussion about Leon was looking for a country band to back him so he could come out, and he was like the world's Billboard certified number one, you know, earner that year. Rock and roll, 26,000 a night. I mean, it was insane. And so there was, Leon was discussing maybe getting, you know, Nashville country band to back him and to start his own, to open for himself as Hank Wilson, and then, of course, to come out later with the great Leon Russell and the Shelter People rock and roll show. Well, so Butch suggested us. Butch and I were pals, and we played together on a Kenny Baker record years before that and become friends. But Bush suggested Newgrass Revival, and we literally got home at like 4 a.m. off the road from being out in like Nebraska and South Dakota and Iowa and Minneapolis and places like that with John Hartford. And later that day, we found ourselves in Tulsa, Oklahoma at Leon Russell's house, and that was just really an amazing thing to go through.
Wow.
A musical hero of ours already. We did one of his songs on our first album, The Prince of Peace. So anyway, there weren't really good pickup systems on instruments and stuff back then, so Leon decided he didn't want to go out and open for himself after all, with him standing there with just an acoustic guitar. But he asked us if we wanted to open the show, so we found ourselves opening the world's biggest rock show in America for 2.5 months.
Man.
It was just an amazing time, you know, an amazing ride. And then, so we did that. But of course, as soon as the tour was over, we went back to our normal lives, and, you know, where we played 2 weeks and 6 nights a week at Arnie's Pizza King in Louisiana. And, so, you know, we were well aware of what was going on. And but years later, it was about somewhere around August of 79, we were playing in Tulsa, Oklahoma with John Hartford, as a matter of fact, opening for John Hartford. And Leon rode by and saw our name on the theater and stopped and came in the sound check and sat in with us that night. And then we immediately started doing some recording with him, and we jammed all the time, and it ended up with us, Newgrass Revival, being his band for 2 years.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was a wonderful time. It was like being in the greatest 50s rock band with bluegrass instruments. It was just really fun, and we learned an awful lot from Leon.
Emmy Lou Harris, you guys have been friends a long time.
Well, we would have met in Washington, D.C., possibly even before Emmy Lou had her first record deal. And she was playing around D.C., and everybody was aware of how wonderful this person sang. But yeah, and then once again, that led to years later, New Grass Revival would sometimes open shows for Andy Lou and the Hot Band. And then when Andy Lou heard that the New Grass Revival was breaking up, she, at the suggestion of John Starling, she called me up and asked if I was interested in playing in an acoustic band with her. And that led to 5 years in the Nash Ramblers. And those were five very joyful years, and I learned an awful lot from Emmy. She's a great band leader and obviously a wonderful musician. She's, I mean, people tend to overlook what a great